Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, May 4th. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo, and here in the studio to help you create some tasty Mexican dishes to celebrate the holiday are the good folks from Mexican Radio. The restaurant has locations in Hudson and Schenectady, New York. Lori Selden is co-owner and the executive chef. She is joined by co-owner Mark Young. What dishes do you crave for Cinco de Mayo? And don't say Cinco de Mayo. We've had this discussion in the newsroom. It's de Mayo. Give us a call at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Let's see, tacos, salsa, spring rolls, all that. Your call's coming up on Vox Pop Food Friday right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo, so today we will learn all about some tasty Mexican dishes to celebrate the holiday. And joining us are the folks from Mexican Radio Restaurants in Hudson and Schenectady, New York. Lori Selden is co-owner and executive chef. By her side is co-owner Mark Young. Mexican Radio started in 1996 as a 600-square-foot candlelit shoebox on Mulberry Street in New York City. It now enjoys the vast expanse of 25,000 square feet on State Street in downtown Schenectady, along with its other location in Hudson. And if you're looking for the best way to make tacos, salsa, or spring rolls, Lori and Mark are here to help you. So give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551, or you can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Lori Selden and Mark Young, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
So great to have you here. Tomorrow is, of course, the huge holiday of Cinco de Mayo. It's not really that huge in Mexico, though, is it?
No, they think we're kind of silly.
Well, it's an excuse to party, right?
It's always an excuse, and fiestas are huge in Mexico, so...
And
absolutely.
There is a historical reason for this, going back to the Franco-Mexican War of the 1860s, right?
Absolutely. It was the battle between the French and the Mexicans. The French with the... Well, how far do you want me to go back? But with the English,
well, it went back to the Mexican-American War.
Yeah, absolutely, and foreign debt that the Mexicans owed to European powers. And so the French came to impose payment on that debt. And they were resisted by a rather heroic defense in the city of Puebla. And they beat a highly professional army.
Napoleon.
Yep. Napoleon III. Yep. And they beat their ragtag army. And so it is an event definitely celebrated in Mexico. It's a great moment. It's a great moment of pride.
And in a way, it's analogous to St. Patrick's Day.
Very much so.
And there's
but
a lot
with
of
margaritas.
And you know what? That's an improvement as far as I'm concerned. Well, Mexican Radio is a colossal success. And 25,000 square feet, really?
Really.
This is half as big as Schenectady.
Certainly way bigger than our apartment used to be in the city.
Well, Lori Selden, you came east from the West Coast. How did you make that journey?
Actually, I started east, and then I went west.
Oh, really?
I went to Berkeley.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
So you were from New York?
Originally from the city, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then you went to San Francisco.
I did. Well, Berkeley, which when you're there, there's a difference.
Okay. And when did you make your way back?
I actually got involved in the music business and made my way back via Boston.
You were in the record business.
I was, but I was a musician as well.
And what did you play?
I was a lead singer, bass player, kind of girl band chick thing.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, power trio in the 80s, you know.
Oh, fantastic. And, you know, it seems like a very strange route, maybe a circuitous one, from chick band in the 80s to a co-owner and executive chef of a Mexican restaurant here in the 2010s.
Well, it's a little bit of a wacky story, but when I lived in San Francisco, and I owned a record store then before I went to Boston to play and get involved more in the music business, I used to throw a lot of parties, and chili rellenos were kind of my thing.
Yeah.
Living in San Francisco, of course, the Mexican food was fabulous, and so we got involved when I moved back to the city, and Mark and I met. we lived in an area that we kind of called the burrito DMZ because we're down in northern Little Italy and we couldn't get a Mexican food delivered to us. And also, we weren't really that crazy about the Mexican food in the city at that time.
Really?
It's changed a lot since then. This was like the, what, early 90s?
Early 90s, yeah.
And what about it didn't float your boat?
I think it was just sort of a forgotten cuisine. People, ironically, people, of course, had a lot of Mexicans working in kitchens and other things. But for whatever reason, the food, we used to joke that Old El Paso, which is a, you know, a brand that you see in the supermarket,
right,
was actually better than a lot of the food that we encountered. This is the early 90s. That has certainly changed. But so we naively thought that we could do better. And we used to sit around our apartment and discuss what would we really want right now? And it'd be a burrito or it'd be a taco or something. And we would talk about it. And so at some point when the possibility came that we could open a restaurant, we did. But you have to understand, it was 600 square feet. So it was 10 tables,
yeah,
and six seats at the bar. And Lori pointed out rightfully that, you know, she had cooked for dinner parties larger than that. So we naively thought it was something we could do.
Again, that can be a daunting prospect, opening any size restaurant. It's not for the meek. I've talked to chefs on this program for years who say, some people just don't make
it.
They don't have the stomach for it.
I think it helps to be ignorant.
You really?
Know, frankly,
we
yes.
We were completely ignorant. Yeah. I mean, completely ignorant. We, I think it was about a week in or something when our kitchen guys, the kitchen was smaller than this little desk here, and kitchen guy said, well, when do we get our, you know, our kitchen clothes? And we're like, oh.
Kitchen clothes.
Don't.
That's right. You're not going to cook in your own clothes.
So, you know, we learned from the first day on.
Did you even have an inkling of how much work it would be?
Absolutely not.
I never would have done this.
You never would have done it?
No. It's a massive amount of work. But, you know, you meet fabulous people, and, of course, the food and the drinks are a big part of the enjoyment if you're a person who needs to feed people.
And you had to, of course, you had to supervise a kitchen staff.
Indeed.
And did you have experience doing that? I know you had parties,
no,
but it's not.
I was a player.
Yeah.
No.
So how did that work out for you?
I did own a record store, so I did have a little experience with people and staff.
That's at hippies who work in record stores. That's a little different.
It's true. And it was a used record store, so indeed it was different.
But, yep.
You know, it was so small. And originally, you know, we started with the classic mistake of hiring all our friends.
Yeah.
And
you lose friends that way.
Very quickly.
Very quickly.
I think
yeah.
It's been 23 years. I think some of them are talking to us again.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But it was at that time, it was before we were in below Houston Street, and actually were there, you know, unfortunately, when the towers came down and were a big part of that whole scenario as well.
Yeah.
But it was at that time, that neighborhood was very different, and it was a lot of artist storefronts, and it was very community-based, and we were actually across the street from John Gotti's social club.
Oh, yeah?
So,
did he come in for a taco from time to time?
Actually, he's just gone to jail.
Ah, okay.
But his guys were still there.
Yeah.
And they'd bring us pizza periodically.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
Good
it was
neighbors.
Fun. But it was a very community-based place. And so
it was also very amateurish. So we thought, oh, this is something we could do. We didn't think about it in a largely sort of professionalized way. That has come over the last 23 years. But I think initially we thought, oh, yeah, we can do this. And we thought we would do it for a couple of years,
right.
You know, and then
here it is all these
yeah,
years
Yeah, exactly.
Later. But, I mean, were you successful immediately?
Yes, we were very lucky.
We were pretty lucky, yeah.
And to what do you attribute this? I mean, you see a lot of restaurants come and then they're gone.
Understandable.
So how did you succeed where so many others have failed?
It's interesting. I don't know if it was because the building we were in was such that if it was snowing outside, it was snowing inside, or which is true. We were just, the neighborhood was at that point. There were no real restaurants there except a little further down in Little Italy. And with all the artists and the sort of community-minded people, and we were part of that artist community, they just supported us, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, and then you made your way to Hudson first, yeah?
Yes, that was, we opened there in 2003.
And then Schenectady opened when?
2014.
14, yes.
Well, we'll talk all about that coming up. Lori Seldon is here and Mark Young with Mexican Radio Restaurants in Hudson and Schenectady, New York. They brought some terrific food, and we'll check that out. And we'll take your calls if you have a question about making that good Mexican food for the huge holiday that is Cinco de Mayo. It is tomorrow. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll take a quick break here on Food Friday. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grant Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Interim Healthcare, for 47 years, helping families keep loved ones at home, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the Greater Capital Region, Columbia and Saratoga Counties, and Glens Falls. InterimHealthcare.com. The Egremont Village Inn, presenting Honeysuckle, a bluegrass band, Friday, May 4th, and Saturday night is Pietro Rossino. Tickets and information at theegremontbarn.com. Finn, your fishmonger, Gilderland, bringing fresh seafood to the capital region, salmon, swordfish, halibut, scallops, and wild clams for the grill. Finn, your fishmonger, fresh, sustainable, memorable, finshops.com. And Field Goods, local food from small farms delivered weekly to workplace and community locations, working to help people change the way they eat while supporting small sustainable farms. Field-goods.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Food Friday, don't you know? Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551 is the number. And we talk Mexican food today with Lori Seldon at Mark Young of Mexican Radio Restaurants. And, oh, man, you brought tacos, which I had. You brought enough tacos to feed the entire staff, which, first of all, thank you.
You're welcome.
Second of all, I had one before the show. Excellent. And then, just now, during the break, I tried this thing. And what is it? And how do you make it? And where can I get more?
I believe you can only get it at Mexican Radio.
Really?
It's called a Mexican spring roll.
It's very cool. And the wrap itself, it's almost like a tobacco leaf, like you're making a cigar. Tell us about this thing.
Well, in one of the things, I'm a vegetarian, I have been for a very long time, and certainly finding interesting vegetarian food has always been a challenge, not so much in California, but certainly when I moved back east. And one of the things over the years that I've learned is that there's no reason that people have to be penalized because of whatever their dietary restrictions are. So whether you're gluten-free, vegan, vegetarian, whatever it may be, your allergies, we try to make things that are going to satisfy people's cravings. And so we were at an Asian restaurant somewhere. I was eating a what they call a summer roll because it's not fried. And I thought, oh, you know, I can do a Mexican version of this with corn and guacamole and so on and so forth, and et voila.
I think this is one of Lori's strengths is that, while we certainly have items on the menu that are sort of traditionally Mexican,
right.
We also eat a lot of different types of ethnic food, and we constantly think, wow, we really like that. How can we make it Mexican? So, you know, we think about the ingredients we're going to use and stuff like that, but that's definitely what the spring roll came
out. All right, tell us about what ingredients are in this.
It's a mix of, it's an Asian rice paper wrapper, mm-hmm. and we put a fresh mesclun mix in it, as well as guacamole, and then it's a blend of fresh mushrooms, corn, poblano peppers, jalapeno peppers, things like that.
And the sauce?
The sauce is like a satay sauce that you would get in Asian food, which you don't usually get as a vegetarian because it's usually chicken satay or something.
Yeah.
So we make it with fresh peanut butter, fresh raspberries, and chipotle.
I could eat that in a bowl with a spoon, just saying. All right, this email came in, and then we'll get to the phones at 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. This one came in from Jocelyn. Hi, my partner and I are planning to make harissa chicken tacos tonight. Any advice on a good sauce to make for them?
Well, harissa is a bit of a sauce in and of itself.
Okay.
What would I put with harissa? I mean, harissa can be very spicy.
What is harissa?
Yeah. Harissa is a
North African spice, common in Moroccan food, mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Made with peppers.
You know what would be really good would be sort of an taco al pastor, like a yogurt sauce, so that you would have that sort of spicy with the sort of cooling of the yogurt or the sour cream. I think that would be excellent with the taco.
I mean, we make our own lime crema with we use a lot of local products, and Hudson Valley Fresh makes their own sour cream, and we mix that with lime juice and lime zest, and so that would also be good. It really depends on how spicy the harissa is, and spice is a big subject because people's palates are very different about spice levels.
Absolutely. This one came in from Bobby, and the subject heading is sauce for fried calamari. Would it be possible to share the recipe for the sauce which accompanies the fried calamari at Mexican radio? It's smoky and perfect, and that's from Bobby.
Well, there's actually a funny story about the sauce. Our very first restaurant was on Mulberry Street, so we were in the heart of Little Italy.
Yeah.
And so when we decided to do fried calamari, of course, every restaurant in Little Italy does fried calamari. So the thought was, well, we can't do a marinara. You know, we can't do a tomato-based sauce because that's what everybody else does. So
right.
We played a lot with different ideas, and then Lori stumbled upon.
Well, I stumbled upon a tomatillo base. Tomatillos are very tangy.
Yeah.
Actually, they're in the gooseberry family.
Mm-hmm.
And very interesting because we've actually experimented with growing them in our own gardens, and they're kind of a weed, so they're hard to get rid of once you start.
Yeah.
But they're super tangy, or ácido, as they say in Spanish, a little acid. And so that's the base for what we use. And if the person wants to email us from our website, I will send him the recipe.
Well, we might as well give you contact information right now. It is?
It's mexrad.com, like Mexican radio.
All right,
fair
enough.
That's our website.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Lori Selden and Mark Young are here from Mexican Radio on this pre-Cinco de Mayo program on a Food Friday. And let's go to the phones. Max in Dalton, Massachusetts. Max, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to say hi to Lori and Mark. I used to live on Mulberry Street back when you had the restaurant at that location.
Aw, sweet.
We enjoyed eating there a lot. And I was surprised and happy to hear that you're now closer to where I live at the moment.
Well, that's really sweet. And it's interesting because when we moved from Mulberry Street, there was a lot of pressure for us to get into a bigger space.
Yeah.
People didn't have to keep waiting outside. And so we did. We looked for quite some time, and there was an old disco in the neighborhood that was being moved out because the tenants didn't want them there anymore. So they said, well, you guys are kind of community activists. Why don't you take over? The tenants won't torture you. Sure, not to be quite true. But so we moved around the corner, but it was pre-internet. So we used to have people all those years later when we opened in Hudson come up to Hudson and say, are you the same Mexican radio from Mulberry Street? And we're like, where did you go? And I'm like, we moved around the corner.
Oh. But yeah, it was before, yeah.
You know, so
I think the landlord let us keep a sign up for a week saying we'd move.
Come on over.
That's about it.
So, but we'd love to see you. And we have a special deal for people from Mulberry Street. So just let us know that when you get there.
All right, Max, thank you for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Bit of a culture shock, I would imagine, when you went from Mulberry Street to Hudson to open up your larger shop.
Very much so.
Yeah? And you got used to it.
Well, I think, we fell in love with Columbia County.
I mean,
we wanted to, and I think over time we realized that, you know, we were working so much in the city, we weren't taking advantage of the city. So we were thinking, you know, we need to sort of move and do something else. And so when we came to Hudson, actually, we recognized certain things that were similar to there was a certain amount of artist storefronts, you know, in Hudson in the early years. And there were a number of people. I mean, I can think of 6 or 7 people that had relocated from that neighborhood just purely, you know, without communication with each other, that we just sort of rediscovered each other in Hudson. And that was neat. And then, you know, we've been very lucky that Hudson has really, you know, has done very well. It's taken off. It's become a destination. And
well, you know, our boss here, Alan Shartok, calls Hudson the, you know, Brooklyn of
the
upstate.
They call it Nobro, actually, now.
Do they really? Brooklyn, you're kidding me.
No.
So it's kind of a hipster place.
It's a hipster place, but it's an interesting melange of people. And, you know, when we first opened, actually, it was very much the antique dealers sort of came in the 90s, and they were the original ones to start some of the renovation. But we were at the cusp of the food scene. And in 2003, 5, I started an organization called Columbia County Bounty, which was putting chefs and farmers together, and it was just at the cusp of the local food movement. And it was a it was an interesting time because Columbia County has some of the best farms in the Northeast.
We used to joke that in order to buy Columbia County produce, we actually had to drive to Union Square, buy the produce, and then bring
it back.
But Lori made contacts with certain farms, and over the years we've cultivated these relationships. They well, we're getting into the growing season now, so they will start growing stuff specifically for us, and it's always exciting. And it's one of the great joys of our lives, actually, is visiting the farms, seeing the produce.
You timed that perfectly, because my next question was going to be, how important is it to buy local? And apparently quite important.
Very, very, very important. And it was interesting. One day, one of the quintessential antique dealers in Hudson had gone to the city and emailed me, and he said, you know, it's funny, when I used to come to the city, people used to talk about Hudson and antiques. Now they're talking about Hudson and food.
Huh.
And it really changes, you know, from people you've had on the show.
Absolutely.
It's really taken off.
So you're excited for the growing season, which is about to begin.
Absolutely. I mean, it's still one of our great thrills, is to sort of see the eggplant or see the tomatillos or whatever that's grown. You know, when you have a good basic product to make the food, you don't have to step on it. You don't have to do a lot. It actually just sort of makes you shine. If you have good tomatoes, in February we struggle to make our salsa approximately what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, you know, in August, the salsa is amazing.
Yeah.
And we're sort of like, wow, we don't even have to get in the way of it. And that's really exciting.
Our number here is 800-348-2551 if you want to join the conversation. We are joined today by Lori Selden and Mark Young of Mexican Radio Restaurants in Hudson and also in Schenectady. And tell us about how the Schenectady restaurant came about.
You want to take this one?
Well, you know, we were looking for another place to grow, to expand to, and one thing we really became impressed with Schenectady was every time, this was about a 5-year courtship.
But, yeah.
You know, over the 5 years, every time we came to Schenectady, we were told by the powers that be that they were going to do something. You know, they were going to fix an area. And every time we came back, they had done it.
Mm.
You know, and we became really impressed. And frankly, we drank the Kool-Aid. We believe in Schenectady. And what is amazing about Schenectady is that people are committed to its growth, and they're committed to really bringing people back to the downtown. And that's just been exciting, and frankly, it's been exciting to be a part of.
Was it a success as soon as you opened the doors, or did it take a little while?
Well, I think everything in the restaurant business is a little tricky, because when you first open, usually, especially if you have a little bit of a reputation, you're very busy,
right?
You know, initially. And of course, you're not doing very well. Either, you know, because you're not ready for all the people that are showing up. And so it takes, sometimes we joke, but it takes about 6 months to win some of those people back.
Yeah.
They sort of said, well, I went to the restaurant on your second day, and I got to be honest with you, I didn't think it was very good. And you're sort of like, yeah, maybe it wasn't.
Right.
But I think we've done that. We've won a lot of people back, which is exciting. And it's nice to be part of that scene, you know. Proctor's obviously is a big draw in Schenectady.
Yep.
And
now, where are you in relation to?
We're about 300 feet from Proctor's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
Across the street.
I mean, I couldn't throw a football there, but if you could throw a football, you could throw a football there.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Raphael in Woodstock.
Yeah, hi. I'm interested to know if you guys are connected to the Farm Hub and the second question is there some kind of cooperative measure between the restaurants to organize and use locally grown organic foods?
Yes. I mean, when Bounty started in 2005, there was not. But since then, I mean, a lot of it has become individual. So a lot of restaurants cultivate their own relationships with their own farmers, depending on what they need. But certainly, again, Columbia County is very much involved in that. And it's something we're very interested in working with Schenectady, too. The Schenectady Green Market is a great place as well. So, but it is really up to the individual chefs and the restaurants on how they want to get involved.
I think one of the problems we have initially with this, and Lori certainly encountered this, was that chefs and farmers are people who, frankly, spend all their time working.
Yeah.
So it's hard to get them together.
At different hours.
And certainly at different hours. So it took a lot of effort to get them to see that they had the time and that they had the inclination to get together. But we're certainly interested in any kind of organization that's out there, or we're always interested in pursuing any kind of situation that we can, you know, pursue goods. That's always exciting.
Raphael, thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Lori Selden is here, and Mark Young is here. The Mexican food is fantastic. You brought some sauces, and I got to say, I'm a sucker for the chipotle sauce and the habanero. I've never seen this brand before.
Okay, well, we'll start first with the hot sauce discussion. I like to say I'm a sommelier of hot sauces.
Well, let's have a glass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
But you can tell me the kind of hot sauce you like, and I can find you something in our world. What happened was when Lori and I first opened the restaurant, our food was too spicy. Everybody
really?
Would constantly ask for water or milk. And we started to realize that our palate was just tougher or whatever. It was just we were spoiled. We
right.
just liked really spicy food. So what we realized was we needed to tone the food down, but we didn't want to lose that sort of spice. So what we started doing was we put hot sauces on the table so that people could adjust their own heat as they wanted. And many, many years ago, we went to a fiery food show in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And they're like 1,200 hot sauce purveyors there, from bikers to nuns. I mean, the most eclectic group
of
people.
Any biker nuns? That's the question.
Yeah,
probably
that would be interesting. So we spent 3 days and a lot of tums going around from each booth to the next and tasting their hot sauces. So we became a convert to the concept of hot sauces. So we've been looking for unique hot sauces that we put on all our tables. But the brand we have here today is called Horseshoe.
Yeah.
And it's out of Rhinebeck, New York.
Oh, so local.
It's local.
Beautiful.
You can find it at Hannaford's, Price Chopper, you know, pretty much anywhere you shop. They have great distribution. And they are amazing. They're amazing guys, and it's an amazing hot sauce.
And it's great that, again, you have sourced locally for even something as not esoteric, but certainly something that you could find anywhere in some really great brands. This is great, Chipotle hot sauce.
And they come out with different, they have a kiwi jalapeno that is amazing. They have
what
a mango fatuli. Chicken is fantastic.
Really?
But then again, pretty much anything.
Yeah.
It's a really good hot sauce. Every couple months they introduce another flavor.
So that's
it's
cool.
Pretty amazing.
They're really great people.
Horseshoe brand. All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. We have Mark Young and Lori Selden here from Mexican Radio in Hudson and Schenectady. And let's see here. Neil in Wurtsboro, you're next. Neil.
Hey, so I have a quick question. Tomorrow is my son's birthday. We're having a bunch of people over to the house.
Swell.
I'm looking for a good idea for like a tapa or appetizer or something that I can make. I'm a pretty capable chef, but I'm out of ideas other than like chips and guacamole and salsa. Help me out.
That's good too.
Well, that's a great place to start.
All right.
So you're looking for something, an appetizer, an entree?
Yeah, appetizer. I mean, I have some quesadillas with Mexican sausage. I have some salsa, some guacamole. I make a corn salsa and a roasted red pepper salsa. So I've got that kind of stuff covered, but I don't know. I feel like other than chips and salsa and some quesadillas,
I feel
a little light.
Do you want to ask him for a job, Lori?
Yeah, it sounds like he's got it down pretty well.
Sounds like pretty good to me. Yeah. Well, I mean, it really depends on your direction. I mean, we do a lot of fried food, but that's harder to do at home. But you can certainly, Mark and we do a chorizo that's a Mexican sausage that we saute in a red wine and Dos Equis base that people love.
Sounds really good. How do you serve that?
We usually cut it on the bias, so you know you get sort of a longer slice on the thing. You can just fry it up very quickly with that marinade, and you can serve it with toothpicks, frankly. Oh, and you can also take a piece of like Oaxaca cheese and put it on top, and that's fantastic. The combination of the two is really amazing.
That sounds like actually a really good idea, and I have all the ingredients to do it. So
fantastic.
Cool.
Well,
there you go. Invite us over.
Right.
Good luck, man. Thanks a lot, and happy birthday to your son. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday, and Mark Young, Lori Selden are here. You mentioned fried foods, and my ears immediately, I focused right in. What sort of fried foods do you have? And why didn't you bring any?
Because it would be cold, and there's nothing worse than cold fried food with cheese inside.
Yeah, you make a point. What's the most popular fried food that you guys...
Chimichangas, by far.
Okay, now, I've had some soggy and not-so-good ones. Tell us how you do them.
Well, you know, in our world, a chimichanga is like a fabulous fried burrito. Mm. So what we do is we actually take a larger tortilla. We take an 11 to 12-inch tortilla. Unless you're gluten-free, then we have to make you smaller ones with the corn tortillas. And then we make our own chipotle, jalapeno, cream cheese mixed with tomatoes and onions and so on. And that's the base. And then you pick a filling, whether it's meat or, you know, tofu or whatever you're looking for. We roll it all up. We drop it in the deep fryer till all the cheese is gooey and nice.
Oh.
And then we take it out and top it with guacamole and salsa.
Oh, that sounds so good. And by the way, the taco seasoning... Tell us about that. Maybe you have some secrets here that you're not allowed to tell, but I had one out before the show, and I got to say it was not too spicy, but it was just beautifully seasoned. Tell us about that.
Oh, that's always nice to hear. We have a number of spices that we put in it. But, you know, I think the most important thing is that you have to, and this is something that we try to reiterate with our staff all the time, you have to taste it. You have to taste it every time you do it. Sometimes you put in too much salt by mistake. Sometimes you put in not enough cayenne pepper. You know, there are just a number of ingredients in it. And what we hope to do over time is cultivate people's tastes. Lori always talks about how you have to cultivate their palate so that they understand what we're looking for. And once they do, then, you know, we try to repeat it every day. We hope that if you come on a Tuesday and you have the tacos, and then you come on a Friday, it'll be the same taco.
And that's a great question that I will follow up on right after we take a break here. 800-348-2551. How do you ensure consistency over two restaurants and over the course of time? We're joined today by Lori Selden and Mark Young. It's a Food Friday, Mexican radio. Well, it's American radio, but we're talking Mexican food. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts, blueherondining.com/catering. Gloriosa and Company, hosting weddings at the Curtis House in Ashfield, Massachusetts, with on-site guest accommodations, local floral design, and weekly summer flower CSA shares also available, gloriosaco.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Warwick Valley Farmers Market, opening for the 25th year, Mother's Day, May 13th, 35 family farms, artisan kitchens, bakeries, offering fresh from the farm food, produce, plants, wine, and more, warwickvalleyfarmersmarket.org. And Taste of Troy food tours of historic Troy or Albany, now through October, private tours or gifts for Mother's Day and Father's Day, tasteoftroyfoodtours.com for more information.
Welcome back to Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Ray Graff here and having a fine time with the folks from Mexican Radio, Mark Young and Lori Selden. And this one came in via email from Alan and Colony. The subject heading, Mexican chili versus Texas. I believe what we call chili originated in Mexico. I like classic Texas chili, no beans involved. My wife is a vegetarian, so I make vegetarian chili for her, and I find that it's not a problem to make. I'm interested in original Mexican chili and the origins of it. Can you comment?
Well, that's exactly what goes on in our house, Mark being the carnivore and me being the veg head. So it's an interesting approach, and he does have the Texas approach to chili, which is no beans, or what's the phrase?
Yeah,
you don't know beans.
If you put beans in your chili, you don't know beans about chili.
Chili, exactly.
Okay.
And mine's full of seitan and tofu and all kinds of other things.
You know, we've had people from Culinary Institute on talking about chili, and what I have learned is, you know, when you're out on the range, it's whatever you had handy. You threw it in and you spiced it up and you went to town. I mean, I think is there a classic chili? I think everyone has their own chili.
And chili in and of itself, I mean, in Mexico, chilies are hot peppers. So chili in and of itself isn't really a Mexican dish.
Yeah.
They eat beans all the time anyway. So and certainly when we're working with our kitchen staff, you know, a lot of these items, it takes them a learning curve with them as well, because especially on the vegetarian side, because they're not used to preparing food exactly the way we're doing it, because we're more fusion oriented.
All right. And thank you very much for bringing that back up. Now, you have specific ideas clearly about what you want and the way you want your food to be. Now, you started your own restaurant, you learned as you went along. Now you own two very successful restaurants. Obviously, you can't be in two places at once. And I've asked many chefs, head chefs here, how do you make sure that your people are doing it your way? It's even more difficult when you have more than one restaurant. How do you ensure that things are going, that the taste is your taste?
That's a great question, and it's an ongoing problem. What you have to do is, when you're training your staff, you have to be sure that, you know, palate, it's like anything. It's like music as well. You know, you don't, people, for all I know, when you taste peanut butter, I taste mayonnaise. I have no idea what you taste. So when I go through and I train the kitchen staff, I have a parameter where I'll say, okay, like with guac, we always say there's a lime salt heat formula. Some people like things more salty. Some people like a little more lime juice. Some people like things more or less spicy. So I'll let it fall within a parameter, and I'll say, what are you tasting now? Does this taste salty to you? Because it tastes salty to me. And they'll say, well, maybe a little. So I know what they're tasting. They think it's, they then learn what I'm tasting, and you try to get it as close
ultimately,
as possible.
They want to do it your way.
Well, yeah, hopefully.
They want to remain employed. Our number is 800-348-2551. It is a Food Friday, and let's see, who's been waiting the longest here? Oh, it's our old buddy Jim in Adams, Mass. Jim, you're on.
Yay, Ray. Again, you're on Food Friday without me being invited.
I'm sorry, man, and the food is good.
One of my three favorite cuisines, Mexican, Indian, and Chinese.
Oh, well, this is good stuff.
Other things, yes.
All right, what's up?
We used to have a beautiful Mexican restaurant on Macona Street in Pittsfield, La Casina, years ago. Then we lost that.
Yeah.
You there?
Oh, yeah. We're listening to you, Jim.
We had a nice one up in Bennington, Vermont for a few years. Then that one's now gone out of business.
I'm sorry.
We used to have a beautiful, up in Bennington, we used to have make a really wonderfully herbed and spice black bean soup.
Yeah.
I had my half Hispanic and half Native American friend up there with me one time. We went to a meeting in town. We went there for a meal after, and he, as soon as he tasted my black bean soup, he yelled back down through the bar to the kitchen. He said, you must have somebody Hispanic cooking in there.
Ah.
But the thing we learned when we first started encountering Mexican food at the La Casina in Pittsfield way back in the early 70s, since our palates weren't quite attuned yet, one of our waitresses clued us in. He said, you see the dark honey there in the squeeze bottle on the table? That's buckwheat honey, and that will quench down the fire.
I see Mark Young nodding his head, Jim. I saw Mark nodding his head. I think he's with you on that.
Buckwheat honey. You used to put that on the little sopillas.
Yeah, sopapillas. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. That's
those
a pretty New Mexican food dish, which is amazing.
The Schofield scale of heat in your kitchen.
The Schofield scale of heat?
Well, we're way peppers. At the top of that chart, personally, so we have to...
You are?
Yes.
I worked my way up to an A at the restaurant in Bennington the last few years back there. I do want to nudge the chef, whoever might have been at the time when I was there, is to, you know, trying to go to a 9, because I thought if he slipped a little bit, he might scorch my taste buds out entirely, but I was up to an 8.
Wow, that's impressive.
Congratulations, Jim. Hey, man.
Alrighty.
Have a good weekend. Thanks for calling. What is the Schofield scale of heat?
Okay, Scoville is the way you measure spice or heat, and it is the unit that you consume with the equal unit of water that would offset that spice, so where it would be neutral. So a jalapeno, for example, is about 8,000. Well, each jalapeno obviously differs, but you have about a 4,000 to an 8,000 range in Scoville units. Serrano peppers are about 15,000. Habaneros are about maybe at a 20. Ghost peppers, of course, are at a million.
Yeah, so, a million?
Mean, yes.
Oh, okay.
And so it jumps a lot.
So who was Scoville, and did he have terrible indigestion?
I have no idea who Scoville was.
Okay.
But probably a British chemist of some sort.
Yes, I imagine. An adventurous one. Let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Pamela in Rhinebeck. Pamela, you're on.
Hi.
I
just wanted to ask, have you ever thought of using a chutney instead of a hot sauce?
Oh, I love chutney.
I love chutney too, and I certainly make it at home. You know, and we love Indian food. We're big fans, and certainly it would be something that we would consider. Again, it's sort of what people are looking for when they come to dine with us. So we do specials, and certainly that's a great idea. I certainly love making it at home.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pamela. What things have not worked for you? Have you tried things that you said, well, this is not going to work for the long term in the restaurant?
Oh, we definitely have specials that we think are brilliant, and then later, you know, nobody orders them.
Yeah, so the market
decides.
And even
the staff doesn't like them. And so we'll realize, wow, okay, I guess that was not a good idea.
Mexican French toast comes to mind.
Mexican French toast? Yeah, that sounds brilliant.
We thought so. Apparently nobody ordered it.
So what, how do you do it?
Well, we thought a sugar cinnamon with our own creme fraiche, you know, would work really nicely.
Oh, my God,
really
that sounds amazing.
And, we never made it work, though. We will try it again at some point.
Oh, I think you have to. All right, and next time you're on, let's
okay,
do a little taste test.
No problem.
All right, let's go to Margie in Pine Bush. Margie, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to know about rice. Like, what is the secret to making a good Mexican rice in terms of, like, you know, short grain, long grain, spices, things like that?
Again, this is a palate-driven thing. The way we make it, we have about 16 different spices that we use in our rice, and when we make it, it's a combination of stovetop and then we bake it because we're making so much at a time. But again, it depends on your heat level. We use cayenne, Cajun seasoning, black pepper, salt. We also take our salsa and we put that in the rice as well. So when it's cooking and baking, you have all the infusion of the flavors from the salsa. And to me, that's the best part of it.
Oh, okay. So you bake your rice?
Originally on the stove, and then we bake it because we are making enormous pots of it. So.
Uh-huh. Okay. Right. Thank you.
Thanks, Margie. How much do you make at a time?
Oh, well, enough to feed hundreds of people.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you start...
Everybody gets rice, pretty much. I mean, we have side dishes. So we have a side dish of either black beans or pinto beans and rice. That's the majority. We also, you can get a side salad depending on what you order. But in general, we make probably 35, 40 gallons of rice on a regular basis. And actually for tomorrow, Cinco de Mayo... Bring it back to the holiday. We've been making rice for about 3 days.
Wow, you're kidding me.
Yeah, it takes a while.
You know, you started with 10 tables, and now you make this much. Has that been a learning curve as far
Absolutely.
As making volume?
Absolutely. And volume is also part of the consistency, because as anybody who cooks at home knows, when you're making larger quantities of things, you have to tweak the recipes because it's not always a double. It's not always a triple. I do at home.
Lori's never followed a recipe. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's true. I'm not a recipe follower at home. But
she gets the basic idea of a recipe, and then she will go to town on it. And we have thousands of cookbooks at our house. And so sometimes she will say, wow, these are amazing muffins. Where do we get these muffins from? And she'll go, well, this book. And then I'll look at it and I'll go, wow, you really put that in there? And she goes, well, no, I didn't have that. So I used this instead. And I'm always amazed.
So you're an artist. You're not a scientist.
So. True. No, I'm far from a scientist.
All right. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It is Food Friday. Mark Young and Lori Selden here from Mexican Radio on this day before Cinco de Mayo. And let's go to Jim in Albany. Jim.
Hey, Ray, great program. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm glad to hear about Mexican radio, and your rice sounds terrific there. Is it Lori?
Yes, thank you.
All right. I'm looking for good fish tacos and pinto beans and rice. Do you make the fish tacos?
We absolutely do. We use tilapia.
No kidding.
A long time ago, we used to use more of a whitefish, a cod, stuff like that. But due to what's happening with some of the fish in the industry, we moved to tilapia. We felt it had more flavor and a better product. So and it's one of the things we do that's slightly different from original Mexican food is we use more of tempura batters on things rather than the heavier.
Oh, terrific!
Batters. So our fish tacos have more of a tempura batter on them, and people love them, especially when it's raining for some reason.
Really?
Yeah,
it sounds good.
And you've done studies on this?
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing, Jim. Thank you for the call. So you really are fusion cuisine.
We are.
You're all over the place.
We're all over the place.
That's a beautiful thing. I love it. Let's go to Rachel in Amherst. Rachel, you're on.
Hey, Ray. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I love Food Fridays. You're my favorite.
Well, thank you. That's very nice.
Yeah. So, hey, what's going on is that about 10 years ago, my husband was prescribed a really heavy dose of antibiotics. It was not a good idea. It killed off a lot of the flora in his belly that can deal with black pepper, cayenne, all the spicy stuff. And he really misses Mexican food. He really misses those flavors and the heat. Besides cumin and maybe ground coriander, what else can I put into chilies and other things that will make them light up a little bit without the spice?
That's so no spice, like no black pepper, no nada?
No.
Oh, boy.
No black pepper, no white pepper, no cayenne, no chili powder.
You may be stumping the band here. I love it when this happens.
Well, what about onions?
Oh, yeah.
He can do onions?
He can do the onions, garlic, definitely.
Okay,
he can
well,
do those.
That's a different kind of spice all on its own. And you know how sometimes if I'm a person who puts a lot of garlic in my hummus, and sometimes if you have that extra amount of garlic in there, you almost get a pepper burn off it.
Right.
So if he can tolerate garlic, that might be a good thing. You can just up the garlic levels a little bit.
You know, Rachel,
and like I said, the cumin is good and the coriander is good. Those at least add a little bit of life to things, right?
Absolutely. I think cilantro and onions, I mean, are one of the great Mexican things with lime. And I mean, even though it doesn't have a heat, as it were, it will have a tremendous amount of flavor. So I would take chopped onions, fresh cilantro. I would liberally mix it together, and I would place it on anything. I mean, any kind of taco, but anything, frankly. I would eat my own hand.
Chocolate cake?
Yeah, chocolate cake.
Really?
Why not?
Yeah,
Mexican
chocolate.
Yeah, I love lime. That's a great suggestion. All right. Hey, thanks a lot,
Hey,
guys.
Rachel, before you go, just humor me for a minute. So lost the flora in his stomach. Can you put probiotics and get it back?
Oh, my God. Ray, we've tried everything. We've had doctors try everything. I'm waiting until the whole fecal replacement thing becomes a little more, because we figure that's going to be the only way he's going to get it back.
Well, I got to say that
it was bad.
That it is sad, but I got to say that I've never heard that before, and thank you for that one, Rachel. Have a good weekend and try that out and see if it works for you. Let's go over to Mark in Woodridge. Mark, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon, people. I appreciate this segment of your show. I have 1.5 questions for you. Okay, that sounds sunny.
Okay,
but
man.
The half a question is just a real quick one. And are you naming your venture there, Mexican Radio, because of the Frank Zappa song? Okay, that's number one. And number two, I personally feel that there's a very close palate between Mexican and Italian food. And I was going to ask you, what kind of crossovers have you experimented with? I mean, me personally, I tried Mexican pizza and things like that. And I want to know if you ventured further into that.
Well, that's a good question. Actually, the name Mexican Radio comes from Stan Ridgway's song. He had a band in the 80s called Wall of Voodoo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on a Mexican radio. But actually, the reason we picked that name was because of that concept called border radio, and the idea that there was a shared culture between what was produced in Mexico and it was primarily transported or broadcast towards gringos. And so what we thought we were doing with Mexican food is we were broadcasting it towards gringos.
There you go.
So that's very much a sort of cultural exchange that we were looking for, the influences that we were looking for.
All right. Well, I mean, that's the first time I think we've heard gringos on Food Friday. So thank you very much for that one, and thank you for the call. Let's quickly go over to Bob in Copaic. Bob, you only have about a minute here.
That's all I need. We have a problem with beans. If we cook them at home, we serve them with a side of extra strength Gas-X. I spent a weekend in Santa Fe last fall, had their version of Mexican food every single day with no problems. And I wondered what we're doing wrong that they're doing right.
Mm. Well, you're
Are
not...
you soaking them beforehand?
No.
That's part of
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. If you soak it overnight, try it that way and see what happens.
Well, if you soak it overnight, most of the cellulose from the bean will dissolve off. And that's actually what most people, when they have reactions to beans, that's what they're reacting to. So.
Well, I mean,
so soaking the beans may do it then.
Absolutely.
It's definitely worth a try.
Just in plain water, or do you salt it?
You could do it either way. Because beans will take an unlimited amount of salt. That's one thing. Every time I check the beans, I always have to add more salt.
Well, you know, Bob, thank you for the call. We're about out of time here. And really, a number of firsts on the program. One, gringos. Two, fecal replacement. Three, flatulence. So this is one hell of a Food Friday. It's really been great. And how do people find out more about Mexican Radio?
Well, we do have a website, mexrad.com, and we have some Facebook pages as well for the locations, and we have a full-time social media kind of guy who does Instagramming and all that kind of stuff.
Do you do that yourself, any of that?
I don't do it myself, no.
You're old school, right?
I'm old school.
You don't want any of that,
I still use a pen.
Well, this was a lot of fun, and how much work will you be doing in the next 24 hours?
We're not going to get a lot of sleep.
We're going to be in the kitchen pretty much flat out until—and we have a show at Proctor's on Sunday.
And you made time for us. I can't tell you how much we thank you for that. Mexican Radio, and great to have you here on Food Friday. Support comes from Holiday Brook Farm, a fourth-generation farm raising grass-fed beef, lamb, and pastured pork, offering black gold compost, 100 Holiday College Road, Dalton, Massachusetts, 413-684-0444. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, Pekarsky's.com. And Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, outdoor market beginning tomorrow on River Street, over 80 local farms and food vendors weekly, open every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., troymarket.org for information. Well, thanks again to Lori and Mark from Mexican Radio for being here. Thank you for listening. The great calls, the great emails. Zach Malloy was our engineer. Barb King took your calls. Our producer is Jimmy the Hammer Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Have a great weekend. Alan will be back in the big chair on Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday. Right now, stand by for news.